Blog Talk Radio.
Ilanga lishonile, Papa na mazungu yisi komozo baba. Ilanga lishonile.
office.
Yep. Grand rising, grand rising, grand rising with Shabakas in the Chase. Today, this episode is February 9th, 2024. We'll be discussing the redundant events of the upcoming 2024 election, from the dump, as in human shit, to hiding Biden, to the universal hatred of black people in the United States and abroad. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over, and this is season 8 that we're in, episode 10. Okay, grand rising, and Chief Brother Chafin.
Shabaka, I thought it was 9. Is it 10?
This is season 8, okay, episode 9. Of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, okay? And the call-in number is 516-418-5996. Okay, we've been having some technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, and episode number, might be off, but I think we got it on. But anyway, Brother Che, I just wanted to let you know that out here in Nevada, they did declare the dump as in human shit, okay, the winner of the caucuses and the Nevada primary. And then also, sad news.
I heard it was so bad, Shabaka, that he didn't even have to, and Nikki Haley was on the ballot and still lost.
Yeah, man, so, they got some fuckery, man, that's going on. You know it, I know it, and the general public knows it. You know what I'm saying?
They're trying to remove the dump as in human shit from our ballot here in Colorado. The Supreme Court is considering the case right now.
Oh, yes, sir. And it looks like, man, is that they're going to keep the son of a bitch on the ballot, man. You know what I'm saying? Which is really, really, man, it was just a damn mockery of the American social order, man. You know what I'm saying? And not only is it a mockery, the sad part about this bullshit is that so many of our people would have got killed, from, as you say, foundational black Americans, I say African and Americans, from the Revolutionary War.
I say foundational black American because we are the reason why this country even exists. There would be no
States. That's a damn show. Yes, sir, that's a damn show. It's because America wouldn't be the powerhouse that it is if it wasn't for us anyway.
It wouldn't exist, period. But remember, they tried this shit. They tried this shit on their own. And they couldn't hang.
Sir.
They always told them, they don't need us, but yes, they do need us. They need us for every goddamn thing.
Oh, absolutely. And then the sad part about it is, Brother Che, they don't want us to realize that fact. You know what I'm saying? So
these motherfuckers, they come spray my apartment, right? So I'm met with my case manager. And they're like, I'm like, oh, so what's going on with that $3 million? Oh, how do you know that? What's going on? Oh, you seem to know a lot of things. Like, yeah, you think I'm stupid?
So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow us here on the Tweety Bird at Shabaka ESP, and later for Stinky Bird, Elon Musk. They got some shenanigans going over there. And then too, Brother Che, and you and I both realize the fact this damn artificial intelligence, man, is just getting too damn much, and what's happening is, in my opinion, black family, is that the artificial intelligence is already running shit, because they don't want people knowing of how it's running, but yet, though, at the same token, they always want all your damn personal information. The fucking computers will sit up here and record any damn thing that you're saying. You see what I mean? And then they get these damn prepaid responses for you and all that. Just like the other day, you know, I get a call and some computer is saying, good morning, how are you? And I said, fuck you.
Jim Crow Biden just outlawed that shit. The FTC just outlawed that shit.
Mm-hmm. Good. The FCC needs to do a whole bunch of regulations, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they bought and paid for. Because I remember, Brother Jay, way back in 2009, you know, when they took the television sets off of analog, right? Everybody had to go get cable. So now you got to pay to watch the fucking TV. And a fucked up part about it is that you pay for it. And they're putting this bullshit up on here. You see what I'm saying? You know? And stuff that you don't want to see, you know, all these false-ass narratives, you know what I'm saying? And then they want you to believe that shit does not stink, you know what I'm saying? And that it's raining, no, and that shit, and that they're shitting on us, telling us it's snow, pissing on us, telling us it's rain. And this episode, ladies and gentlemen, is for those 18 years of age or over. And I do believe that we're also on StreamYard as well, too. You know, say, and so we're tagging, you know, some more people here, you know, to give us a call, ladies and gentlemen. And you can follow us on Stinky Bird. We're at Shabaka EXP. And then to, so, you know, we welcome our haters to call in. And then also to Brother Jay, that last episode we did on our normal Tuesday night episode, it was off the hook. And also to Joe Gibson, we pulled the sheep's clothing off of you, man, because you are a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you see, in the black community, handled your ass. You brought it on yourself. You know what I mean? And then you're going to call up on our platform with all this cussing and threatening, all that old type of junk, Joe Gibson. Very, very unbecoming. You know?
Right.
But however, yeah, Joe Gibson is Joe Gibson. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, ladies and gentlemen, you know, is up to us to take care of us. You know? Period, you see, because you got all these migrants coming in here, and look who they're attacking, and also, too,
under Jim Crow Biden, full-blown
Jim
Crow Biden.
Yes, sir.
And they don't even want to jump at
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying, man? You know, they kill me with that bullshit, you know what I'm saying? But then,
and they're trying to put all the blame on him.
Yeah.
They don't want to place the blame on him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And so, therefore, we're advertising here on Facebook. And then also, too, we're advertising here on Stinky Bird. I'm sharing the links. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, our chat room is open for our hate mail. You know, all our hate mail gets read. And then, what's that there? Oh, Joe Gibson, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, boy, Joe, yeah, we really did pull your sheep's clothing off of you, you know? And you stated how you honestly felt, which is fine, you know what I'm saying? And also, too, Joe, you stated, you know, how the majority of white America feels about us. You know what I mean? And you're going to call up here with all these threats and this, that, there, the other, you know, because, you know, a gentleman disagreed with you, you know. I mean, man, it's unbecoming of you, Joe, you see. But, however, you know, we are still here. You know what I mean? Brother Che, you still with us? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it appears that we're having some type of technical difficulties. Okay, and our opening intro was African Sunset by the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba. So what we're going to do right here, ladies and gentlemen, is Brother Che, you know, tries to get back in the studio. Okay, and, you know, we're going to play a couple of tracks right here. Okay, and we're going to play Malcolm X here, a clip from Malcolm.
This afternoon, we want to talk about the ballot or the bullet. The ballot or the bullet explains itself. But before we get into it, since this is the year of the ballot or the bullet, I would like to clarify some things that refer to me personally concerning my own personal position. I'm still a Muslim. That is, my religion is still Islam. My religion is still Islam. I still credit Mr. Muhammad for what I know and what I am. He's the one who opened my eyes. So today, though Islam is my religious philosophy, my political, economic, and social philosophy is black nationalism. As I say, if we bring up religion, we'll have differences, we'll have arguments, we'll never be able to get together. But if we keep our religion at home, keep our religion in the closet, keep our religion between ourselves and our God, but when we come out here, we have a fight that's common to all of us against the enemy who is common to all of us. Whether you are a Christian or a Muslim or a nationalist, we all have the same problem. They don't hang you because you're a Baptist. They hang you because you're black. They don't attack me because I'm a Muslim. They attack me because I'm black. They attack all of us for the same reason. All of us catch hell from the same enemy. We're all in the same bag, in the same boat. We suffer political oppression, economic exploitation, and social degradation. All of them from the same enemy. The government has failed us. You can't deny that. Anytime you live in the 20th century and you walking around here singing, "We shall overcome," the government has failed us.
Ladies and gentlemen, and that there's the current political fervor that you got currently going on here over 50 years later, you know, when the minister told us that there way back in 1964, so it's 60 years. You see what I mean? It's 60 years. So, Brother Che. Okay, yeah, you're fading in and out.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. So, you know, it's probably a monkey wrench in the works again. And then again, too, day after tomorrow, as you know, they're playing the Super Bowl here, and they got all these technicians here in Las Vegas, you know, with this AI shit. You see what I mean? So that there might be having to do something with it as well, too. So therefore, you know, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call, 516-418-5996. Okay, Brother Che, what are some of the current events? Okay, now that we got you back in the studio, okay, so we know the dump, as in human shit, you know, was selected the winner here in Nevada. Also, too, it looks like that the Supreme Court is not going to repeat, is not going to take Trump off the ballot. So I think he's still stuck on your ballot in Colorado, too. So what's the latest on that?
They set their meeting right now about it. So once I get the details, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right, so we're going to pull up a few historical newspapers right here. And what I mean by that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going here to the current news, okay? Boy, here they are with this bullshit. So I go up here on my laptop.
Eric Adams in New York and these prepaid airport cards.
Yeah. And
so
then, too.
Giving him like $1,200.
But they don't want to cut no check for reparations. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's very, very interesting too. And also too, I'm taking a look at this stock market right here. Disney has gone up, Walmart has gone up, Amazon has gone down. NVDA corporation has gone down a little bit, but there's nothing, you know, to hurt their asses. You see what I'm saying? And also too, we want to talk to our people here a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's black family. Is that we got to build some damn infrastructures. Period. That's all we need, because this motherfucking election is going to come up to us with a bunch of bullshit again. They always go to the black border, you know, with this bullshit.
Any of these ones want our vote, they're going to do a down payment.
Right.
They every foundation of them, just they don't get.
Okay, and that is Brother Che. Okay, and we're having some technical issues this morning. So we don't know if it's a monkey wrench they thrown in the works. We don't know if it's the weather conditions. Is because California is still getting inundated, you know, with the rain and storms like that. And that there's just very, very interesting, you know, of how, you know, conveniently, you know, it's not working, you see. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we did pull the sheep's clothing off of a wolf off of our last episode. Okay, yeah, Joe Gibson, we're talking about you. And, you know, you got exposed, man, you know. And in my personal opinion, Mr. Joe Gibson, you're a fraud. You know what I mean? And that there is one of our best episodes also, too, on our last show. We did have the daughter of the one and only man, Dr. D, where she had came on there and dropped knowledge. And she had owned Joe Gibson, you know what I mean? And then Joe Gibson, you know, man, we tried reasoning with you, man. And then when we proved to you, man, that we are the original people right here, and we gave the world the sciences. You keep going through some bullshit, you know what I mean? And we hit you with more and more evidence, and you still keep going with bullshit, you know what I mean? So, hey, man, you know, we're still going to call in your show. Our chat room is open for our hate mail, too, ladies and gentlemen. And so we're connecting on that if it decides to work, okay. So far, Brother Che, we don't have nobody in the chat room. So I'm just wondering, you know, what all the hate mail is that's going up there against us. Okay. But it's all good. You know, it's all good. It's all good. And then, too, in the beginning, as we always play Mama Africa, African Sunset. Okay. It's because when the sun is setting in Africa, the sun is rising here. Also, too, on our last show, our guest who had made a trip to the continent recently definitely felt an ancestral connection. And so therefore, everybody, you know, that I'm know and acquainting with who went there, they definitely felt an ancestral connection. And, you know, and there's been rumors that we'd, not rumors, but, you know, there's been research saying that we had circumnavigated the globe, meaning that we have traveled around the globe maybe thousands of years, you know, before that drunk Columbus did, you see. And then our Denver studio is having difficulties staying off into the studio. So therefore, you know, please call in, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to continue with Malcolm X until Brother Che gets back. The ballot or the bullet, I believe. Okay. Okay, Brother Che, you back in? Okay. Yeah, you're sounding kind of choppy. You're fading in and out. So it's probably, man, you know, once again, them throwing a monkey wrench in our works. You know, and you can follow us, ladies and gentlemen, on Stinky Bird at Shabaka EXP, commonly referred to as X. Okay. So we're going to check some news out here today, ladies and gentlemen. And so let's see here. Hawaii court says, quote unquote, spirit of aloha supersedes Constitution and Second Amendment. Okay, so let's see what this story is about right here. Okay, I'm going to old Bill Gates' Microsoft shit, you know. And so once the fuck again is up here pinwheeling, oh, it finally decided to come up. Interesting. Okay, Hawaii court says spirit of aloha supersedes Constitution and Second Amendment. Okay, Hawaii's highest court ruled Wednesday that the Second Amendment right, as interpreted by the U.S. Supreme Court, do not extend to Hawaii citizens, citing the spirit of aloha. And the ruling, which was penned by Hawaii Supreme Court Justice Todd Eddins, the court determined that states retain the authority to require individuals to hold proper permits before carrying a firearm in public. The decision also concluded that the Hawaii Constitution broadly does not afford a right to carry firearms in public places for self-defense. Further pointing to the spirit of aloha and even quoting HBO's TV drama, The Wire. Okay. Article 1, Section 17 of the Hawaii Constitution mirrors the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The Supreme Court of Hawaii decision states, we, quote-unquote, read those words differently than the current United States Supreme Court. We hold that in Hawaii, there is no state constitutional right to carry a firearm in public. But I thought the U.S. Constitution superseded the state constitution. More hypocrisy and bullshit. The spirit of aloha clashes with a federal mandated lifestyle that lets citizens walk around with deadly weapons during day-to-day activity, it adds. The history of the Hawaiian Islands does not include a society where armed people move about the community to possibly combat the deadly aims of others. Wow. And, of course, the governor of Hawaii is a Democrat by the name of Josh Green. And the court's opinion further says the state government's policies curbing certain gun carry rights have preserved peace and tranquility in Hawaii. Okay, so just like when the United States annexed it in 1898, I believe, around the time of the Spanish-American War, they're fighting over the Philippines. You know, it's very, very interesting, people, that these Europeans go into a place, invade it, and put up their democracy, and then they do the exact opposite of what democracy is. Now, this here is from Fox News. A free-willing right to carry guns in public degrades other constitutional rights. It concludes the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness encompasses a right to safely move in peace and tranquility. Now, the National Rifle Association tortures Biden administration for planning to change rules for gun buyers and sellers. In addition, the Supreme Court of Hawaii notes a quote from HBO's The Wire, "Boy, Hollywood and its bullshit," that the thing about the old days They the old days. The court's opinion states that it makes no sense for contemporary society to pledge allegiance to the founding era's culture, realities, laws, and understanding of the Constitution. The case dates back to 2017 when Hawaii citizen Christopher Wilson was arrested and charged with improperly holding a firearm and ammunition in West Maui. The firearm Wilson was arrested carrying was unregistered in Hawaii, and he never obtained or applied for a permit to own the gun. He told police officers that the firearm was purchased in 2013 in, of all states, the great state of Florida. Yeah, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it just shows, you know, the hypocrisy of it. So basically what they're trying to do is allow white folk to be armed, but any other group, they want them to be disarmed, okay? And then also, too, it's Black History Month, ladies and gentlemen, and I saw something extremely sad, okay, where they got our people, you know, declaring themselves like non-binary and that type of shit, and that it's just crazy. It really is. Okay. So here on another
up note,
yes,
about the Michigan school, her mother was convicted. How much time she got? She got life in prison, 15, 20.
Okay, who is this?
Crumley.
Okay, who is this, Brother Jay? Okay, Brother Jay, you're fading in and out. Okay, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a problem with our Denver studio right here. Okay, so we're pulling up here another story. As we all know, the Super Bowl will be played in the next couple of days here in Sin City, and we got a story here that says fire alarm goes off in early morning hours at 49ers team hotel ahead of Super Bowl 58. Okay, the 49ers players suffered a rude awakening on Thursday as fire alarms blared in the early hours at their team hotel in Las Vegas and ahead of Super Bowl 58. According to the Chronicle, the fire alarms at the Hilton Lake Las Vegas Resort and Spa went off around 6 a.m. Though the team did not have to evacuate the building, the alarms didn't stop blaring for 10 minutes. The guests were not ushered out of their rooms because, according to a hotel employee, engineering was able to deduce it was a false alarm and there was no evacuation needed. The fire alarm was reported by Niners Nation reporter. We're not going to say his name. It's an unfortunate incident for the 49ers, who play in a rematch of Super Bowl 54 on Sunday. Luckily, they have plenty of time to catch up on their lost sleep in the next few days. Kickoff isn't until 3:30 Pacific time Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. So the 49ers, they're out there practicing on the campus of UNLV, I believe. Things haven't gone as smoothly as the 49ers like so far this week in Las Vegas, while the hosts, the Kansas City Chiefs, get to use the Raiders' facilities. Wait a minute. Hell, you mean the Kansas City Chiefs get to use the Raiders' facilities? Oh, no. San Francisco has been regulated by using those at UNLV. The 49er players have reportedly been unhappy with the condition of that practice field, though the NFL brought in brass to cover the collegiate team turf practice field. Okay, you're back on?
So I was talking about Ethan Crumley, the white kid that set up the school, Oxford High School in Michigan back in 2021.
Oh.
his mother to death sentence.
Okay, and she got convicted of manslaughter, correct?
Yeah, involuntary manslaughter.
Okay, so how much time is she supposed to do?
I remember off the top of my head, but I believe she got like 15.
She got 15 years?
I don't know what it is, but she did get convicted.
Okay. All righty, and then also, too, another story here, ladies and gentlemen. We get here from the AP. Ghana artifacts that were looted 150 years ago by British forces have been turned by a U.S. Museum. Okay, Accra, Ghana. Seven royal artifacts looted 150 years ago, by British colonial forces from Ghana's ancient Ashanti Kingdom and kept at a United States museum have been returned and presented to the kingdom on Thursday. The latest of a series of stolen treasured items being repatriated back to several African countries. Looted from British colonized Ghana in the 19th century before being transferred to Fowler Museum at UCLA in the 1960s. The artifacts included an elephant tail whisk, an ornamental chair made of wood, leather and iron, two gold stool ornaments, a gold necklace, and two bracelets. We are here because a white man came into Ashanti mine to loot and destroy it. So once again, Joe Gibson, you and your bullshit. So once again, it blows it out the water right here. We are here because the white man came into Ashanti man to loot and destroy it. Okay. The king of the Ashanti kingdom in Ghana's largest city of Kumasi said at a presentation ceremony that brought joy and relief to the kingdom. So therefore, must Joe Gibson, fuck you, man, is because you're talking about, well, you know, you guys did this to your own people. No, we didn't, Joe. This just proves that you came with lies and deceit. And also, too, Joe Gibson, with you being the racist that you are, okay, we are so very, very glad that you got exposed on our normal Tuesday night presentation.
Yeah.
Now, after decades of resistance from Europeans and Western governments and museums, the efforts of African countries to repatriate stolen artifacts are paying off with the increasing returned treasured pieces. Activists, though, say thousands more are still out of reach. The royal items were first received by the kingdom on Monday, which marked the 150th anniversary of when the British colonial forces sacked the Ashanti city. Okay, so this here would be in the mid-1870s, okay? Oh, in 1874. That was when four of the items were looted while the other three were part of an indemnity payment made by the Ashanti kingdom to the British. Now, why in the entire fuck would the Ashanti have to make an indemnity payment to the British? The repatriation of the artifacts to Ghana signifies the return of our souls, said Kwasi Apine, a lecturer who helped negotiate their return. All seven items are being returned unconditionally and permanently through the kingdom. Though the kingdom allowed their replicas to be made, the museum added. We're globally shifting away from the idea of museums as unquestionable repositories of art as collecting institutions entitled to own and interpret art based primarily on scholarly expertise. To the idea of museums as custodians and ethical responsibility. Okay. The items are seen as symbols of prestige and reverence for the Ashanti ruler, and have them back as a dream come true. And according to a staff member there at the Ashanti Palace, our forefathers and our fathers told us about the artifacts. And ever since as a kid, he had had the vision that one day we shall have these articles back to our Ashanti nation. And then also, too, speaking of the British, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying that the King of England, oh, King Charles, he has cancer, you know what I mean? And
great
what
news,
have you,
great
you
news.
Know. Say that again, Brother Che.
I said great news, great news.
Oh, yeah, great news, great news, great news, great news, okay. And so all you assholes out there voting for the dump and support the dump, you know, Uncle Tim Scott, you know what I'm saying, Larry Elders, Leah Terrell, you know, other ass scratches, Yasa bosses and what have you. For the rest of this year, we are going to be making it known on as long as this podcast is staying up, okay, to tell you about your stinking ass selves. You know what I'm saying? You know, we really are. You see what I mean? You know, oh, and other great news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And as you know, the Super Bowl folks, you know, they wanting, you know, $28,000, $10,000 for tickets and all that shit right there. Guess what you got here, people? Capacity for Sunday's Super Bowl game 58 at Allegiant Stadium will be slightly less than a regular season Raiders home game. More than 60,000 fans will fill into the $2 billion facility for the game between the Chiefs and the 49ers. That would be the smallest capacity crowd in the NFL history's title game outside of the 24,835 who attended a COVID-19 restricted Super Bowl 50 in Tampa, Florida. Capacity for the February 7th, 2020 game was limited at 25,000. The first Super Bowl was in 1967. Yeah, yeah. And the first Super Bowl saw the lowest capacity turnout was 61,946 fans, according to the NFL. A regular season Raiders game features 62,506 seats, expandable to a 65,000-person capacity when standing room.
Stadium, we have like 76,000 people every time we play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, and then the stadium's capacity was touted by officials during its planning and construction process to be expandable to 72,000 seats for a Super Bowl. Reasons behind the fan seating reductions are additional seating areas being used for domestic and international media members and space used to construct platforms to provide additional camera and security positions, according to the NFL. And, however, you know, they do have some nice artwork outside there, you know, for Super Bowl 58. Okay, but, however, when black players control their own leagues, we'll get more hyped up about
it,
you see.
Like I said,
yes,
sir. Ice Cube, that's the big three. And then,
yeah.
It's the XFL.
Uh-huh.
About to take the place of the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. That's when the two merged into the NFL. Okay, now get this here, Brother Che. The mega weekend in Las Vegas is expected to draw 330,000. Wait, 300.
There's a whole other league called the AFL for the XFL.
Right. And they're expecting more than a quarter of a million visitors here, generating up to $1.1 billion. It could be the biggest special event in Las Vegas history. You know what? I thought that there, Brother Che, you know, when I went to a local store here a few days ago, is that I said, yeah, they're going for a record billion. You know what I'm saying? Over a billion, you know, just off the door revenue and in here in Las Vegas. Okay. Allegiant Stadium drew over 23,000 fans for the opening night of Super Bowl 58 on Monday, as it was the first time the fan-friendly event was held in the game's hosting stadium since opening night debuted at Super Bowl 50. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so Las Vegas, you know, it's cool here. I'm quite sure the law enforcement agencies here are going to have extra task force out here. So be careful when you come. Yeah, because everybody's going to be out here drunk and driving crazy, all these out-of-staters and shit like that, and I refuse to pay $1,100, you know, for a Super Bowl ticket. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And then in
$1,100 is like for a nosebleed seat. For the $50
yeah, exactly.
Line, $2,800 for front row seats. It's $20,000.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's five figures. You know what I'm saying? It really is. And then the Las Vegas Review-Journal here, you know, pulling them up here. On eve of Super Bowl Sunday, Las Vegas hotel room rates plummet. Whoa.
Wow.
That's a first.
What they plummet to?
The rates plummet.
What did they plummet to?
Okay. All right. We're going to read the story here now. Room rates for Las Vegas motels, because they've got an excellent sign up here on the sides of Caesar's Palace that I'm looking at right here. I'm yet to see it, you know, up close, but it's just a picture that they have right here, you know, on the internet from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And they said that the rates in for Las Vegas motels and hotels for Friday and Saturday night preceding Sunday's Super Bowl 58 between KC and the 49ers at Allegiant Stadium plummeted an estimated 35% from a survey taken January the 8th. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, if the room was usually $100, okay, then you're getting it for $65. But I'm quite sure that these rooms are going every bit of $500, $600, $700, $800 a night, okay, you know, for the weekend right here, okay. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Room rates fluctuate over time based on supply and demand. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a law of economics, supply and demand. A survey completed Thursday showed rates averaging $288 a night, that companies with the average rate of $443 a night in the survey taken 3 weeks earlier. A week ago, the average rate was $403 a night. Each of the three surveys average room rates for Friday and Saturday night in advance for Super Bowl Sunday. The Las Vegas Review-Journal calculated averages based on published prices from Hotels.com. They don't include taxes or resort fees that can be as high as $50 a night. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, you got to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, is that
Westgate is $67 a night. The Golden Nugget is $149 a night. The Horseshoe is $17 a night. The Treasure Island is $90 a night. The Oso Hotel and Casino is $72 a night. The Hilton Vacation Club Polo Towers is $146 a night. The Plaza Hotel, you know, is $121 a night. The Super 8 on Windham, North Las Vegas Strip, Fremont area, is $106 a night. And we are joint with what we tell you. Oh, where did she go?
Okay. All righty. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this here.
What do you mean, how far can the Nuggets go? We're going back to back. I don't see you, Lady Chair.
I'm in the stream.
Oh, you're under my name. That's what threw me off. I was like, huh? Okay, welcome, Lady Chair. Shabaki, can you hear Lady Chair?
Yes. Yeah, here in the background. So they're saying, Brother Trey, that the off-strip market.
I totally forgot that it was Friday, and I actually called, I called just for a reason, and I forgot it was Friday.
Hi, Lady Chay. Well, we're down to the last 30 minutes. We were talking about the Super Bowl, right, at the second. Prices and the hotel prices. About to say that they have slashed the rates on them for the weekend.
Yeah, and we still got more data on that. And there was still several.
If you have some news, if you wanted to share, you could share it, Lady Chay.
I got shit to share. I don't know what to talk about. I don't want to talk about other things, but I want to talk about that with you, but offline. But I guess you should say, like, really. I don't really have nothing going on. I'm going to send my niece a little kind of thing. Why? How are you? Why? You know, I don't really have much to contribute in the manners of football, you know what I mean? My girl doesn't like football, you know? I don't. No, I'm a girl, very feminine girl. So,
We were just talking about the aesthetics, like how much the tickets were costing.
Oh, yeah, that's just sad. It only put them higher because,
But here's something for you on this here, Brother Chaser. That just came up. It says if you go out there to Buffalo Bills and Prim, which is the California state line and Nevada, you're getting rooms out there for under $100, okay? The least expensive place to stay was Buffalo Bills and Prim, which is offering rooms for $52 a night.
Fuck Prim.
Fuck Prim, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, sir. That's where little Sharice was murdered in the 1990s. In downtown Las Vegas, the Gold Strike Oasis Hotel is offering rooms for $88. Now, here's the problem with downtown people, for those of you coming out here, is that, you know, you're going to be moving at a snail's pace down there, okay? You're really going to be moving at a snail's pace because the traffic down there in downtown Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen, is all fucked up. Because you got construction out there, you got the drunks out there, you're going to have brain dead motherfuckers out there standing in the middle of the traffic, homeless, panhandling, and what have you, looking out of it and shit like that. Yeah, so Clark County Jail is going to be busy tonight. I just hope not to be a guest. Okay, all of the averages conclude calculated were above the average daily room rate level calculated by the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. Well, you know, we're not going to say too much of them, you know, anymore. We're not putting their name out there. But it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, and as much as we love football and Brother Che loves those, the ponies who are in the barn. And the Raiders are in dry dock. And then keep in mind, oh, and by the way, man, I didn't dig them damn buckets, man, beating my fucking Lakers the other night either.
I don't care what you dig, Marcus. The fake show is done.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, the Lakers, they need some work, you know. And the damn buckets. Beat the Lake Show, you know, so they got to revitalize, you know.
Yeah, the four buckets, yep.
Yeah. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, as we all know, Lamar Jackson won the NFL MVP for the NFL for the Baltimore Ravens, you know, the quarterback there, and I believe he is the only one to ever do it, okay. Okay, now, the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, okay. We're reading here online that the Chiefs are in awe of Raider accommodations, and the Chiefs had to say that the Raiders' accommodations are the best facility in the whole NFL, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Once again, the Chiefs are in awe of Raiders accommodations, best facility in the league, and they way on the east side of Las Vegas. I passed it one time, and the weight machines they got here, man, this is a pretty nice-looking gym. Weight machines, the iron grips, you know what I'm saying? Aside from the unmistakable silver and black colors, right, that enlighten them everywhere they look, one thing stood out to the Chiefs while preparing for Super Bowl 58 at the facility of the AFC West rival. Okay, the weight seemed a little light in the waiter's weight room. Before Raiders fans get all upset, Tranquil was joking, you know, the linebacker for the Chiefs. And can you blame him? It's not every day you use your rival's workspace to get ready for a championship game.
I'm so sick of fucking Mahomes and the goddamn Kelsey. Shabaki, you know they're calling the ball fade the Kelsey cut now.
They're calling a what?
The ball fade that we've been getting for centuries.
Right.
They're calling it the Kelsey cut now.
Man, you see... They're culture vultures, man. They're culture vultures. You see what I mean? You know, they're culture vultures. You know? Okay, we got Mr. Talk here in the chat room. Hey, Mr. Talk, long time no see. Please call in, Mr. Talk. Okay, you know, yeah, we've been on. Yeah, Mr. Talk. Yeah, give us a call, Mr. Talk, you know. And 516-418-5996, you know what I mean? And it's been a while, and ladies and gentlemen, I've been speaking with Mr. Talk, you know, off and on. You know, he has his own podcast by the same name. And the thing about Mr. Talk, you know, is a very, very good gentleman, you know, to talk with. And yeah, Mr. Talk, you know, since it's been a while, man, let me give you an update, man. Me and Pianki quit speaking. We have Sarge as a regular on here, and we've been wearing Sarge out, Mr. Talk. And by the way, Sarge, you are in dereliction of duty, Sarge. You were ordered to report this morning, sir. So therefore, you consider.
Yeah.
So Sarge is AWOL. And then also, too, Mr. Talk. And we had Joe Gibson call up here on Tuesday night, Mr. Talk, is because we had a very, very great show last Tuesday night, Mr. Talk. Okay. So Joe Gibson had called in, you know what I mean? And then Joe Gibson got a little bit beside himself and started calling us a bunch of names and what have you, you know, Mr. Talk. So please pull up the playback. Also, too, Mr. Talk, we have Professor Hall with us, you know, the gentleman who does The Black Man Reads Aloud. A week before, and then what had happened was the professor, you know, they ticked him off. He went off, Mr. Talk, you know what I'm saying? But this is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and, you know, we deal with the Black Experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Okay, so we had Illusion, Mr. Talk. I think you're familiar with him. And Illusion, you know, he got booted out because, you know, he got to screaming and hollering, man, and calling people out of their name. So we just simply pushed the eject button on him, Mr. Talk. Pianki and I, man, we decided, you know, to quit talking to each other on a permanent basis is because, in my opinion, Pianki is a brain-dead Negro, but however, Mr. Talk, you know how we get out here. You know, we don't hate our people who suffer from this affliction, which is an element of the Maafa, you know, as Dr. Marimba Ani had stated. You know, if they don't want to call in, hey, great, beautiful, you know, we're not going to miss them. Okay, so Brother Che had to, okay, you're back in the studio, Brother Che?
Yeah, I was just telling Lady Che bye, she hopped off.
Okay. All righty, yeah, okay, yeah. So please give us a call, Mr. Talk. It's always a pleasure of having you, sir.
Yeah, we've got 30 minutes, Mr. Talk, so please call in.
Yeah, at 516-418-5996. And also, too, Yes, sir. And then Las Vegas is going off the hook here, Mr. Talk. You know what I'm saying? Today is Friday. So, you know, whatever runs I got to make today, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going to do them, and I'm going to be off the street by, you know, 5 p.m. today, okay, is because of traffic, weather conditions out here, and what have you. So therefore, Brother Chaser, we see that that the motherland is getting back some of the artifacts that were stolen, okay, and what have you. And then, of course, you know, the information that we read from the Lerone Bennett, you know what I mean, a few years back, is because old Joe Gibson. And Joe Gibson, you welcome to call in, man, but you know, you got so upset, man, is because, you know, we presented you with facts, but you keep citing Joe Gibson Eurocentric sources, and we cite Afrocentric sources, Joe Gibson. And of course, we're going to place more emphasis on our Afrocentric sources, is because, as you know, Eurocentric sources, you know, a lot of them tend to be fantasy, lies, and stuff like that. Now, Brother Che, you remember when Sarge was saying that the best way to keep records is to write it down, and Sister Mary McKeebet stated, you know, over 60 years ago, that our people do it orally from the griots, passing it down from generation to generation. And then, of course, you know, the Europeans are known to write lies and stuff like that, and believe in fairy tales and believe in Santa Claus and all this old type of bullshit. So what happens is, people, is that we can't say it does not go off the hook here at Shabaka's Black Experience in the Hands. But, you know, when we try to talk to Joe Gibson, you know, to get our points across, he always want to step on us. And we had to show Joe Gibson that he was in our house.
He's a tethered anchor baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And yes. Oh, yeah. And
he had a country for his ancestors to flee to during Mussolini and whatever other authoritative regimes they had going on in Italy.
Oh, yeah. And then, yes, sir. And then keep in mind, though, too, Brother Che, is that when Mussolini tried to invade Ethiopia,
he got the brakes. You know why he got the brakes broke? Yeah. Quiet as it's kept. Foundation of Black Americans. Foundation of Black Americans went over to Ethiopia and said, no, 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 y'all not going to do this here. And helped fight alongside Haile Selassie and his army to defeat the Italians. It was just the Ethiopians, but no, it was Foundation of Black Americans. I was like, no, no, no. It's bad enough y'all did this shit over here. Yeah, not going to do it over there.
And then also, too, Brother Che, is that every...
The military, so we could go over there, fly over there on planes and assist them. So that's why I said, like, we've been pushing this Pan-Africanism for quite a long time, over 100 years, and it's not been...
Right. Okay, well, Brother Che, you know, after further research on that, you got to understand the Europeans has got the fingerprints, you know, on the brains, you know, of these neo-colonialists over there. But however, I do agree with you, is that we cannot be the only ones, you know, have to be standing on a square and other ones don't. Okay, Mr. Talk says that he'll try to call in, and he says that he's working right now on something. Okay, Mr. Talk.
Okay.
And, yeah, and Mr. Talk, please pull up, you know, some of our past episodes. They have been quite interesting, too. Now, also, too, but one thing I want to comment on, Brother Che, is that when Mad Dr. D's daughter called in the other night, and she definitely stated that there was a connection on the ancestral level right there when she had visited the motherland. You see what I mean? Now,
there's a connection.
Yourself.
All humanity comes from our people. Nobody is questioning that. The thing is, those in the diaspora, and you've noticed that these other groups have been using diaspora too. I noticed that the Asians are talking about their diaspora, the fucking Indians from India are talking about their diaspora. But us here in the
right.
African diaspora, we are delineating because, like I said, this Pan-Africanism has not been reciprocated. It's not letting in the riders. They're letting in the tethers. And the tether is
the
raccoon on the African continent. So they come over here, undermine what we got going on over here. That's why they're tethers.
Yes, sir.
They reap all the benefits of our struggle, of the rights that we struggle to acquire. But yet they don't want to help with our struggle over here. Because outside of the United States, there is no civil rights movement. There is no human rights movement. There is none of that. So we are
competing
for the rest of the diaspora on what that actually looks like. And they're standing in the way of our progress with our reparations. That's why we said, sue your colonizer. We got all these congressional black caucus. We talked about the congressional black caucus a few shows back and how they're obsolete.
Right.
Well, the main reason why they're obsolete, they don't have the same lineage as us. So they're not going to put our best interests in mind. And we need somebody that's going to be like Ihan Omar. But for foundational black Americans, they're going to put foundational black Americans first, not to be confused with American first. That MAGA is running. We are for our people first, like we said 4 years ago. The tape is off. We're no longer taping for you other groups. And that includes y'all within the diaspora because it has not been reciprocated. Y'all use us for our numerical value. And mind you, we have numerical value in the diaspora. But yet we are the ones that's been fighting against racism and white supremacy for the past 400 or 500 years. Consistently. Whereas many of the masses of the diaspora have been hoodwinked and bamboozled into worshiping white people and thinking that they're gods and that, you know, they set this bond and we're like, no, hell no, you can't trust these mugs. They can't be trusted. They haven't been able to be trusted since they came out the cave. So.
Right.
More of us in the diaspora have to get on code of what we're under or what we're facing globally. It's a global struggle. It's not just in the United States. The thing is, the United States wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Africans and those that were already here that were enslaved building this whole country. We built the infrastructure of the country. We built all the towns, the cities, all the architecture, all the transportation, the roads, bridges, you name it.
Right.
Created. And they don't want to cut the goddamn check. They don't want to pay us what the hell they owe us. Yet they got money to pay all these other groups. They got money to send abroad overseas to be in everybody else's affairs. But they keep neglecting their own citizens, their own people here that were responsible for their creation. They wouldn't even exist. There would be no America. This is an experiment. And they failed.
Okay.
They were marrying lines on their own. To the point where they were sewing each other up in body suits to get through the winter.
Yeah.
The European, the colonizer, the settlers. That's what they were doing. And that's before the original 13 colonies. The only reason why they had 13 colonies was because they had black people to help them till the land, cultivate the land, because it was just wilderness, minus the native tribes. It was just wilderness. We had to work the land, cultivate the crop, That's why when we talk about we want land, we got to recognize it takes money and manpower to work the land. You can have all the land, but it's useless if you can't get nothing out of it. If you can't cultivate the land and get some valuable resource out of it and sustain yourself off of it, then what is the point of having land? So that's why we're cash first, land second, Because if we even if
okay,
we
well, brother Che.
Because if we get the loan,
okay,
spot,
brother Che.
We're gonna have to have a military
okay.
defended. That's why
right.
we were up 100 years ago with the many Black Wall Streets that we had all over this country. We didn't have
right.
a military to defend it. So when them white mobs,
right. yeah, from Tulsa to Wilmington,
mobs,
North Carolina, yeah,
lynch mobs came, we didn't have no defense. When the
yeah.
U.S. government came, like in Tulsa, we didn't have no defense.
Mm-hmm.
When the National Guard came,
yeah.
we didn't have no defense.
Right.
The,
and then
so
you can still feel that
came,
shit down there, too, in Tulsa,
no
brother Che.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and
yeah,
you can still
there.
Feel that shit
there.
In the air down there.
Yeah, you were just there, Sabahu.
Yeah, man, yeah. Okay, we got a breaking story here, Brother Che, that I'm pulling up right here. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office announced a grand jury has indicted 7 in the NYPD attack. Okay, all right. Okay, well, yeah,
bro. But they're still on the
No, they ain't going to find them.
And then they called themselves.
Okay.
They found some in Arizona, but these were different illegal
yeah.
immigrants that they had rounded up. These weren't the ones that.
Right.
The two LA, LA, the two New York, they might as well be one and the same. The NYPD
okay.
officers in the head.
Here.
Still on the count
okay,
of
so. Okay, so therefore, you know, I'm trying to pull up this tape from fake news, and you got House niggas Eric Adams up there and the district attorney Bragg and what have you. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about you House niggas is this, okay? Will you motherfuckers please let it be known that you sons of bitches don't represent us? I will feel more comfortable when you bastards just simply get up there and say what you are, house niggas, opportunistic Uncle Toms, and I'll have more respect for you, you know. But when you bastards get up there and say that you represent the whole black community, now, man, you kiss your ass. Kiss my ass. I'm sorry. Now, there also, too, Brother Che, we're pulling up here. Here's a story. This is interesting. Jeffrey Wright. You know, the movie actor,
mm-hmm.
he says he finds it odd when people call him a black actor. Oh, my God. Okay.
Well, remember,
now,
Morgan
now,
Freeman,
and,
it was one of, it was one
yeah.
of the Morgan Freeman or Samuel L. Jackson said they didn't want to be referred to as a black actor. Just call them an actor.
Yeah, well, fuck both of them. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it's because motherfuckers like that are dangerous. Now,
well,
Jeffrey
yeah,
Wright, and Jeffrey Wright, who is one of my favorite black actors, so therefore, Mr. Wright, I'm going to read your story here, sir, and you might lose me as a fan of yours. Okay, I find it odd when people call him a black actor. And Mr. Wright, quote unquote, I find it the oddest thing when people refer to me as a black actor. What is a black actor? Is the process different for a black actor? Is the outcome different? It makes absolutely no sense. Oh, goddamn. Okay, Brother Che, you guys in your generation, man, you guys got a hell of a mission on your hands, man. I won't be here, man, when you get my age. And I hope you guys are winning. Okay,
well,
so let's finish this article.
On that, we ain't black shit. They can stay the fuck over there. Yeah. We're fighting for
yeah,
the best
okay.
of black people, collectively. Black man, black woman, black child, collectively.
Yep.
So,
yeah, and he says at the same time, he thinks...
Bullshit that, oh, they don't see color and they living under the
yeah.
delusion of inclusion and they really think they're included
yeah.
in it. American ethos and social order, go right ahead. Just don't speak
uh-huh.
on our issues. Don't speak on
exactly.
our issues. When they turn the camera on you and they say, well, we would like to know what black people's thoughts are on this. Decline to answer.
Yeah.
And that goes for all you Congressional Black Caucus members. Y'all don't not speak for us.
Yeah. Wow, you know, It's really sad. Okay, so I think, Brother Che, that he's on the puppet strings of Hollywood to say this shit right here. Okay, now, let's see, reading the story here. Oh, boy. Okay, so Jeffrey Wright, you know, is getting a Best Actor nomination for this here, and he's 58 years old, and he's been in the Hollywood business for 30 years, okay. And I'm going to tell you, make this statement right here, okay. You know, I was a black man when I was born, and I will be a black man when I die, okay. This all inclusion of illusion, this illusion of inclusion is all bullshit, black family. And what they're doing is that they're trying to dilute us. You see what I mean? No, we're all not the goddamn same.
Every 20 years,
you see?
20, 30 years, our classification changes in this country. So now they're mad because we're defining ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. He says to be referred to this is like being a hamster on a circus train. It seems at times a bit disproportionate, but yeah, it's gratifying to be acknowledged. Huh. American fiction, first place, I'm not know.
That back in the civil rights era, they would have been sitting at the lunch counter begging for a cup of coffee. They wouldn't have been burning.
Yes, sir, exactly.
They would have been sitting up there, Master Charlie. I have seen you
yep. come off the table. That type of shit. Yeah. But
we need them out
there.
Yes, sir.
They
do not represent us, and they just stop speaking on us.
Yes, sir. And I agree wholeheartedly with you on that there, Brother Che. So what it is that this is fueling the fire. About why they don't want to pay reparations, because what they're doing is they're going to pay these ass scratchers, man, you know, to say that they're Americans as opposed to being black people in America. And I'm quite sure that Muhammad Ali is turning over in his grave, because after all, he sacrificed his prime years for that. You see what I mean? And then we're not going to mention all of those who died in him.
Muhammad Ali was not an African. He was a foundational black American. He came from...
Brother Che, please hear me out. Okay, Brother Che, I'm gonna have to disagree with you a little bit on this here, man, is because I recall Ali in his heyday, brother. I remember when he was doing his thing, and he had always stated that he was a black man first, and also too, this is why he had emphasized that the fight when he beat George Foreman be fought on the continent of Africa. Say so Ali put the stipulation of that.
In order to be black, you have to be from Africa. When the majority don't even consider themselves black.
Okay, no, but I'm just stating his position of what he had at the time in 1974, Brother Che.
Yeah,
that's all that I'm doing.
The black empowerment era, and at the height.
That's all.
At the time, but the fact remains, he was not born in an African continent. He was born here in the hills of North America.
But that's just it, though, Brother Che, okay, is that we were never considered citizens here is because of the Dred Scott case, okay? And I don't give a damn about what all these Yasa bosses like Bianchi and all that old type of shit, you know what I'm saying?
But this is a dumb shit, though. Huh? I thought that it was just restricted to Missouri.
Okay, no, that case wound up in the U.S. Supreme Court, Brother Che. The Dred Scott case, that was the U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
I know it did, Shabaka, but that's the shit they'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Because Missouri was a fugitive slave state, and that's where that originated. And it's such a question for everything after it. So, it's like you said, when did we petition the United States government to be citizens of this country?
Yeah, we never did. Okay, now on that basis right there, okay, now if a brother comes here, he wants to petition the court or what do they call that, the immigration, and says, well, I want to petition to, you know, be an American citizen. Great, beautiful, that's your business. But what it is Kwame Ture had stated when I saw him speak in 1974, is that he had stated is that this is a forced citizenship on us. This is because, you know, and that's why I was held on to the premise, because we never officially petitioned to say, hey, I'm a U.S. citizen. That's what the white man put on us. You see what I'm saying? Because we didn't have no voice in that. Huh?
With the 14th Amendment.
Okay. So, yeah, like we stated before, too, Brother Chase, what was it? The 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment. No, the 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, and 15th Amendment.
What's the
15th? Yeah, it was the three amendments. Okay, yeah, but it was the three amendments. Yeah, because one that outlawed slavery, one that made the slave a citizen, and one that gave the slave the right to vote. Yeah, but when did we petition the U.S. government, man, that we wanted to be citizens? You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not disagreeing with your reasoning, Brother Che, because you're a very, very highly intelligent man. Okay, but what I'm just saying, oh, man, is just looking at it,
well,
man, is
can,
this, you know, shit.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. When did we petition Africa or any country in Africa for citizenship?
Okay, now that's when they had that damn Berlin Conference, man, you know, where the Europeans went up there and divided up. What was that there? 1884, I think. You know,
yeah,
they didn't even consider it. Yeah. Well, the Europeans took it upon themselves.
We haven't been.
Huh?
We haven't been to Africa in like 400 or 500 years. So the Berlin Conference, you know, 300 years ago. Yeah, about 300 years ago. So the countries that, or kingdoms that we were taken from, they no longer exist.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you're talking about that. The kingdom. Okay. In other words, what you're saying is that the nations no longer exist, in which the rape and slave trade and pedophiles came there and kidnapped us, right?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, this is what Dr. Marimba needs about her reconnection.
Or 55 independent sovereign nations in Africa. They didn't get their independence.
Right. Right. And then you had a lot of them, and, you know, that became neo-colonialists. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, now also.
We're in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
That became independent, but they're not independent because they're neo-colonies.
Right, they're still on. They're still on the puppet strings. Right, yeah, they're still on the puppet strings. You know what I'm saying? And but when it comes down to it, Brother Che, is that they still have the chain on our brain. We came a long way, brother. But we damn sure still got a long way to go, you know. We really do. Okay, so therefore, let's see. I see Mr. Talk, you know, didn't get a chance to get with us. We're down to our last 5 minutes. And then, you know, and also too, Brother Che, call in to Mr. Talk sometimes, man, because he's been off for a while. You know, he's a very, very good brother, man. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Offline.
Yeah, okay, yeah, and I'm trying, because I had his number wrote down, man, but, you know, but you could Google him here on Blog Talk, man, because I had it wrote down.
I don't know, every time you have somebody on Blog Talk, I can't find them for some odd reason. I don't know if
that's
very settings or whatever, but when I put those channels in, they don't show up. It's just really weird.
Okay. Alrighty, so if I come across Mr. Talk's number, because like I said, Brother Che, it's been about a good year and a year and a half since I spoke with him, you know what I mean? And what have you.
In one of the notebooks.
Huh?
Dig them out. You know.
But I
haven't been keeping notes so much this year because all my notebooks are full, so...
Right, And I got all this stuff in boxes, and then, you know, because of what I do a lot of times, Brother Che, is that, you know, I would have binder paper, I'll staple it together, and I keep it on the clipboards because, you know, I'm always, you know, ripping and running, as you know. And I'm making a note here to call Mr. Talk, you see, and what have you. And Mr. Talk is real cool, and basically the way how he does his format, Brother Che, that I respect him for, is like in the first half of his show, man, you know, he would talk about his subjects and whatnot and have his special guests, and then in the second half of his show, then he opens up his phone lines, you know, which is real cool, you know what I'm saying?
What days
but we definitely...
Go on?
Huh?
What days does he usually go on?
Okay, he's usually on Wednesdays and Fridays, if memory serves me correct. Yeah.
Okay, so
Wednesdays and Fridays.
Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon?
Oh, okay, basically, okay, it will be Wednesday in the afternoon, and I think he's based out of Texas. So I believe that will put Mr. Talk in the Central time zone, I think.
I think he's one hour
ahead of you, because you know when I cross the great state of Texas, you know what I'm saying, and it's a wide state, man. That damn state is 810 miles wide, from Louisiana to New Mexico. Huh?
I've driven 700 of the
800
miles.
Yeah, 810 miles, you know, because when I crossed into Texas out of Louisiana, I saw a mile marker 18810. And the mile marker, Brother Trey, it would either tell you how far that you are in the state or how far it takes for you to get out of the state. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess, man, you know, or that they, it all depends on what the state law is, you know, what their transportation law is, or their transportation authority regulating the law. Ooh, I'm still halfway asleep right here, folks, you know. But Mr. Talk is interesting, and also, too, and then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to be, let it be known here on our platform, is that, you know, we just about let anybody, you know, comes on here, you know, but one thing that we do ask, if we're going to have disagreements on here, please let us disagree agreeably, okay? And so then, you know, when old Joe comes on here, you know, we got to figure out a nickname for old Joe Gibson. Yeah, you know, I know, Joe Gibson Biden. Yeah, the tether baby Gibson Biden. Yeah, that's what we're going to call him, Gibson Biden. Yeah, you know, and then Gibson Biden tries to come on here with his authoritative personality like we some dumb niggas who don't know shit. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, these two hosts right now who are on here are educated. You know what I'm saying? And what it is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we speak against the popular version of what is truth. We don't ask, scratch, we don't yaz about it. We don't do that bullshit here. We're not Tim Scott's. We're not Tom Bradley's. You know what I'm saying? And what have you. We're not Barack Obama's.
Like that meme.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the media with Tim T'Challa from Black Panther. It says we don't do that here. We don't do that here.
Yes, sir. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So we're down in our last 17 seconds, Brother Che. Okay, so what are your closing thoughts?
Make sure y'all check us out tomorrow for Frontline Black News Season 3,
right.
Episode 45 of them. Part 1.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Mountain Standard, 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Central, and 12 a.m. in the East.
Yes, sir. All right.
Tuning into this Grand Rising with Shabaki and the Chase. I'm your host,
right.
Coach producer, Terry Nkrumah. I'm joined with my other host, executive producer, Shabaka Sankori. Shabaka's about to experience, this is Shabaka's about to experience Enhanced. Season 8, episode 9. And the air date of this program was February 9th,
2024. Funny you should say there's something about this date right here, Brother Che. There's something about this date, February 9th. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, 53 years ago today, February 9th, 1971, is where they had the Sylmar quake in Los Angeles, okay, 53 years ago today. And I was a child, you know, in elementary school, and I got a very, very rude awakening at 6:01 a.m. at that time, and that was perhaps one of the worst earthquakes that Los Angeles County ever experienced, okay. But 53 years later here, I'm here in the heart of Sin City, you know. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you are coming to Las Vegas today and tomorrow, please drive extra careful because people are going to be out here drunk. They're going to be stupid. So everybody's coming out here to enjoy the Super Bowl. With me personally, as much as I love the human drama of athletic competition, Brother Che, there is no fucking way in hell, man, I'm going to be paying $1,100 for a damn nosebleed seat. So I'm going to sit here in front of this.
I'll come up out and watch the commercials. Most people watch it for the commercials. They don't even watch it for the athletic competition. They just watch it for the commercials. But, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, sir.
$1,100.
Yeah, totally.
For some goddamn tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, too, and I remember years ago, me and Mad Dr. D, when we used to watch the Super Bowl, particularly the one they played over there at the Rose Bowl, where the Dallas Cowboys with Troy Aikman and them, where they beat Buffalo like 54-3, I think, you know, they used to have what they used to call the Bud Bowl, which was the pregame, the halftime show between Bud Light, you know, and Bud Beer. So that there was just some shit to get you to go out there and buy the beer. But we had fun. It was all great. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to go out with the one and only Mr. Miles Davis. With the milestones. Okay, Brother Chow, I'll be talking to you later on today, sir.
On YouTube and Facebook, the Revolutionary Agenda Facebook, and Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook and Twitter, now X. So peace, love, light, reparations,
separation,
and black empowerment. Are we going to go out with Shabaka's Ship Ahoy?
Yes, sir. Yes, Ship Ahoy will be fine, Brother Che. Yes, sir. That'll be fine. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Please share the episode, and then we love all our haters out there. You're welcome to call in, too.
Yeah. coming to the land of liberty, where life's design is already made. So young and so strong, they're just waiting to be saved. Oh, I'm so tired, and I know you're dying too. Look over the horizon, see the sun shining down on you.
Shipboard, 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 shipboard.
Shipboard, yeah.
Shipboard, shipboard, shipboard,
shipboard. Can't you feel the cold wind blowing by? There's so many fish in the sea.